You have your Bibles, let's open them, please, to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 11 for a moment. And just a public shout out to Brother Quinn for finishing discipleship. Thank you so much and for finishing and training Brother Steve so well. And every week I'd say, well, did you help him this week? No, he's helping me. And so thank you so much. And here we go. Proverbs chapter number 11. Let's look just at several passages here tonight. Several passages. And the Bible says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Notice the second half. And he that winneth souls is wise. And I think most of us have probably heard that verse. Then I want to give you one other verse over in Matthew, if you will. Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter 9. And this is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And here we are, Matthew chapter 9, looking down into verse number 36. Matthew 9 and verse number 36. Who's got glasses right now? You got glasses on? All right. How many of you did not have glasses when you started coming to this church? Well, yeah. The old, hey, when we say old-fashioned Baptist church, emphasis on old. So, well, you couldn't hear what I said anyway, so it's all right. So, Matthew 9 and 36, but when he saw the multitudes, this is Jesus, he was moved with compassion. And it does that. You see one person, maybe it's not so much compassion. You start seeing crowds of people. And especially, you know, I'm sure those refugees right now on all the borders, 2.5 million now, 2.5 million now. Poland said, we're full, you can't send any more. But millions of refugees. I'm sure the people there right now, seeing those people without food, without blankets, without homes, they're moved with compassion. So Jesus is looking at these crowds of people. He sees the multitudes, verse 36, he was moved with compassion on them. The difference in compassion and in pity is compassion does something. He says, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd, no one to lead them. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. In another passage, he words it this way, the harvest truly is great. Either way, it's plenteous, it's great, it's big, it's great because who it's for, it's for God. It's great because who we're associated with. It's great because the big task that's before us, the Great Commission is great. He says, pray ye therefore, he said, the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. That's the Holy Spirit, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The harvest has always been white. It's always been white. Someone says, you know, in our day, the harvest sure is white. No, it was white in Jesus' day. The harvest was ready in Jesus' day. It's always been a lack of laborers. I'll quote another verse in Luke 19:10. It says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I'll quote another passage in Mark 4. It says, the sower soweth the seed. I've never spoken an entire sermon about one person before, except when I have preached an entire sermon on Jesus. Tonight I'm going to preach one entire message, a Sunday night message, dedicate the whole thing to one person. Who is that? The soul winner. Amen. The soul winner. Father, bless this brief time that we have. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. There's two great commands that God gives us. He says, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the great command. Love him. And then the other one is love your neighbor. Love thy neighbor as thyself. So love him. Love them. The way we love him is time in his word and time in prayer. The way we love them is giving them the gospel. It's the greatest fulfillment of loving your neighbor as yourself. When I was a teenager, our new pastor, I was seventh grade, he started teaching the church how to be personal soul winners. I remember when he first got there, no one had ever visited. No one had ever passed out a tract. I don't even know if we had gospel tracts. So our pastor ordered these little chick tracts. You know what we're talking about? They have these little pictures of chickens on them. No. It's Jack Chick is who made them. But they're comic book tracks. You've seen them. Jerry Patel passes out Big Daddy, the evolution one. I pass out sometimes the assignment, This Was Your Life. And I've ordered them in Chinese and given them in Chinese restaurants and things. But they're little comic books. So he gave us 10 addresses, each family, to pass one out to just go to their house, don't knock on the door, leave it at the door, that's it, go home. Took about 5 minutes. And he had us do that for a while. And pretty soon people were waiting at the door. Hey, which one is it this week? Soon people got saved. Well, finally, he kind of went out on the limb, and Brother Smith, our pastor, said, we're having soul-winning visitation this coming Tuesday night. And he announced it, Brother Brett. He said, I want the whole church. I want every man. I want every woman. I want every teenager. I want the whole church to come out. And I just knew they were all going to come out. I just knew. I mean, the pastor asked us. And I said, man, I know I'm going. And I knew it would be hundreds of people out there. Well, I showed up that night, and he did announce there would be Krispy Kreme donuts, too, and community coffee. My daddy always said, don't drink coffee, it'll stunt your growth. Never bothered me at all, Shafar. Never bothered me at all. Yeah, I bet it didn't. And so I showed up that night. Here's Brother Smith, me, and Brother Moore, O.W. Moore. No idea what it stood for, O.W. And he looked around and he goes, well, there's a lot of souls to win. He said, I got some hot visits to make. So, Mike, how about you go with Brother Moore? Well, Brother Moore was about 70 years of age, white hair. And on top of that, I knew through the grapevine he had a wooden leg. That is the desire of every 12-year-old, 7th grade, first-time soul winner, is to be in a car alone with a 70-year-old man with a wooden leg. I mean, what do you talk about? I mean, you don't have a whole lot in common. How'd you lose your leg? You ever scratch the wrong one? Do termites make you nervous? All I know was we got to this house and someone had visited the church, and I'll make the story short, but we got in the house and they had a little baby. It started kind of cooing and making some noise. Brother Moore picked up their baby and said, here, Mike loves to hold babies. And I didn't know it till then, till he told me. So now I'm holding this baby. And he said, keep the baby quiet. And I heard him go through the Romans Road with this dear couple. First thing, we've all sinned. Second thing, there's a payment for sin. And I'm just praying that that baby will be quiet. Soon I heard that young couple pray the sinner's prayer in the background. I did hand the baby back. And all the way home, Brother Moore, a wise man, he said, Mike, they wouldn't have been saved if you weren't here tonight. He said, that baby would have distracted them. I had to have you here. You were a silent partner, but you helped get them saved. He said, you'll get a crown up in heaven one day. You're a soul winner. No, I wasn't a soul winner. I held a baby, but I know what he was saying. I had a part. Amen. I'll never forget that. Pastor was very wise. He was trying to get the soul winning fires going in our church. He was new there. And the next Sunday morning, he preached on Mike Ray's a soul winner. I don't even know if he mentioned Jesus one time, but I was all in that message. What was he doing? He was just trying to let people know, hey, if a 7th grade boy can help someone get saved, anybody can. That's what he was saying. It was Noah. He preached and witnessed 100 years. Only had 7 people saved, but it was his family. It was Samuel. He witnessed to a king one day. And the Bible said God gave him another heart. His name was King Saul. It was David. He backslid for a season. David got right and he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. David said, if you'll give me my joy back, I'll talk about you. Give me that joy back, restore me, forgive me, and I'll tell others about you. Amen. And he did. I think of 3 Hebrew boys got thrown into a fiery furnace. I think of Daniel got stood up and said, a purpose in my heart not to defile myself. They didn't win a soul, but someone was watching them. King Nebuchadnezzar, the one that watched those 4 boys stand for Christ. In chapter 4, guess who's writing a gospel tract that he got saved? Nebuchadnezzar. Amen. Who helped lead him to Christ? 4 teenage boys, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. Someone said a soul winner is just a nobody telling everybody about somebody, capital S, who can save anybody. I love that definition. I think of Naomi, the soul winner. You say, who? Naomi. She's the one moved to Moab. Her husband died. Her two sons died. And she was so bitter, she told her daughter-in-laws, go back to your gods. Go back. Don't stay with me. Go back to your... How? Terrible advice. Go back to your idols. Next thing you know, she's walking in Bethlehem. Boaz says, that Ruth, her daughter-in-law, she's the one who has come to trust under his wings. You're the saved girl. You're the heathen girl that got saved. How did she get saved? Through Naomi. I just want to tell you this, folks. You don't have to be perfect to lead someone to Christ. This book and the gospel is so potent. It is so potent. It can be just a little glimmer of the gospel and someone can get saved. I think of David Brainerd, the great missionary to the Indians, Delaware Indians, Susquehanna Indians, and I think he even won Sasquatch to the Lord. No, that's Bigfoot. He won him to the Lord during that time. But David Brainerd did not speak the language of the Indians, but he was burdened for them. What did he end up doing? He hired an Indian to interpret, and most of the time the Indian was drunk. And he's preaching through a drunk interpreter, and Indians are getting saved. How come? Because the book is potent, it's powerful, it can even be misquoted partially by a drunk person, and someone can still get saved. The soul winner. Psalms 142, verse 4. David says, I looked on my right hand, no man would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. He's in perhaps the cave of Adullam, I believe. If you check into that passage, here's kind of what he meant. No man cared for my soul. Here's what he meant. No one came looking for me. No one came looking for me. People are lost all over this area. They're lost in Napa, whether they're rich lost or they're in some ghettos of surrounding cities or poor lost, they're still lost. And there's got to be someone that comes looking for them. There's got to be someone that comes to their door, someone that passes out a flyer. It's got to be somebody come looking for them. The soul winner. Several facts about the soul winner tonight. Number one, he goes. The first word to the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go. We got to go. We won't win souls sitting at home. We won't win souls just sitting in our car. We won't sit home just watching television. We'll win souls as we go. Number two, the soul winner is unlikely at times. I think of the great soul winners in Scripture, the maniac of Gadara. You know what he did before he went soul winning? You'll love this. Kind of the basics. He put on clothes. He put on some clothes. He had maybe thousands of demons come out of him. He is all cut up. He had lived in the tombs. He stunk. He smelled. He had not bathed. And he got saved. And he puts on clothes. He's in his right minds. And the Bible says, and he filled that area with the story of Jesus. What a soul winner. Unlikely. I think of the woman at the well. Five marriages that failed. Five different divorces. She is now living with a man. She's living in sin. She meets Jesus Christ. She gets saved. She's so excited. She runs back to the town. It's interesting. Guess who she told? The men. Why'd she tell the men? They knew her. She didn't have a good reputation. They knew her. She came and said, come see a man that told me all I ever did. Is not this to Christ? And the whole city came to Christ. Amen. The Bible says many believe because of her word, and many believe because of Jesus' word. As far as we know, the city got saved. Hey, I don't even know if she moved the furniture out from her boyfriend's house. I don't know if they broke up yet, but she came and the whole city got saved. Amen. Unlikely soul winners. I think of the fishermen. What are you doing? Fishing? Now, one thing about fishermen, they lie. Boy, he got away. Did you see him? No, but I know he was up there. Really? They're impatient. Some of them can cuss. I've heard them. Some of them can cuss. Jesus said, you fellas, I'm going to let you preach and 3,000 are going to get saved. No formal education, no Bible college education. They hadn't even been to Smite Camp, I don't think. Andrew brings his brother to Christ. He brings Simon Peter to Christ, the soul winner. Jesus sees Zacchaeus in a tree. Jesus wins Zacchaeus. He wins Nicodemus, witnesses to him. And then at the end of his life, he takes him off the cross. We believe Nicodemus got saved. Thief on the cross next to Jesus. He got saved. Jesus was a soul winner. I think of Brother Windish. He's in heaven now, skipping down the streets of gold. Brother Windish, an unusual soul winner. For years, we would have these trifold tracks, and the middle part, all it said was the question, if you died today, would you go to heaven? That was it. So, Brother Windish, Pastor, let me go with you. We'd knock on the door. I kid you not, when it was his turn, he would just turn to, if you died today, would you go to heaven? He'd knock on the door, they'd open the door, and he'd do this. No introduction, no hello, no my name is, just... He'd just point to the words, if you died today, would you go to heaven? So, Brother Windish, I don't think that's how you do it. But he got people in shirts and he won some souls. The Bible says in Psalm 126, 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. What's that mean? It means you go and then you're burdened. Well, that's an application. But what he's talking about is soul winning is when you're weeping, when you've got a broken heart, when you've got burdens of your own, when you've got problems you're carrying, when you've got problems of others you're carrying and you're concerned for them and your heart is breaking, he said, keep sowing the seed. Amen. Sow the seed while you have tears. Sow the seed when your heart is broken. How come? If you wait till you don't have any problems, you'll never sow the seed. Amen. I'm amazed at the texts I get during the week. It'll be this. And here's a parent with a broken heart. Here's someone that's just helped a loved one get buried. Here's someone, maybe their husband's just left them or they've heard terrible news. And I'll get a text, where you want us to go soul winning this week, Pastor? What streets you want us to go on? We had some people say, I stand back, I admire you. If I think I got burdens, I stand back and say, wow, and they're still going. The unlikely soul winner is the one that sows while they are weeping. I want to say this. It's the greatest cure. Amen. It's the therapy you need. Amen. What we need when we're burdened is not to sit at home and self-pity. Amen. It's not to post-text, pray for me, I'm hurt and I'm discouraged. I'm going through all this. The greatest thing is get out. Pass out tracts, witness to someone, and your spirit will lift. You'll still have the same problems, but for a while you'll forget them. Paul had the Macedonian vision and came and reached Lydia at the laundromat. You say, where's that in the Bible? It said they were washing clothes at the river. They had to leave a quarter on the beach. That's how they did it back then. He won the jailer after an earthquake. It was Philip. He's preaching a revival, and the Holy Spirit says, why don't you go down to Gaza, to the desert? He goes down there, sees a guy reading his Bible, and he says, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, no. How can I accept man? Some man should guide me. Come up here. He jumps in the chariot, leads a man to Christ. Unusual. I think of Stephen. Think of it for a moment. Who led the Apostle Paul to Christ? Well, nobody. You know, the light from heaven, and Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Check the book of Acts. Later on, the Apostle Paul says, I'll never forget when Stephen was holding the clothes. Excuse me. When I was holding the clothes of the men that stoned Stephen. You know what? Saul saw a lot of people die, but he never forgot Stephen, that deacon, preaching and praising God. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. I see Jesus. Paul never forgot it. And years later, he said, I remember that. Believe with all my heart that helped Paul come to Christ. You just don't know. A conversation, a gospel tract, a chick tract, a sermon, getting someone to one church service. Sometimes it's a lot of little things before they get saved. Is there not a hell? Is the world not in turmoil? Are people not hurting? Are people not searching? It was a shy Sunday school teacher that taught the collegiate class in Boston. This young boy had left home in Massachusetts, where he lived, and went up to Boston to make his living. His uncle said, "I'll give you a job in the shoe shop, and you can live in one of our rooms, but you have to promise to go to church every Sunday." He went to a church, and the first Sunday, the teacher said, "Take your Bibles and open them to such and such book." The boy's name was Dwight. He couldn't even find it, and all the class started snickering at him. Quickly, the teacher picked up on it and said, "Dwight, you hold my Bible." And Dwight said, "I knew he had my back at that point. I liked that teacher." Later on, the teacher came to where Dwight L. Moody was selling shoes. And amongst the stack of old shoes, boxes, he led him to Christ. They said, he looked at D.L. Moody and said, "I've never seen a kid more uneducated. You could hardly understand what he was saying. His grammar was terrible. His thought patterns were strange." Yet it was D.L. Moody that trained an oratory. And it was a J. Wilbur Chapman saved through Torrey's ministry. And Chapman trained a Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday preached and a Mordecai Ham got saved. Mordecai Ham preached and a Billy Graham got saved. What did oratory say? Here's that book you didn't buy. I have to read it to you. Someone said, "Oh, you must be so smart, Pastor. You've written so many books. Anybody can write a book, selling them's a hard thing." Okay. R.A. Torrey said, "I would rather win souls than be the greatest emperor on earth. I'd rather win souls than be the greatest general that ever commanded an army. I'd rather win souls than be the greatest poet, novelist, literary man who ever walked the earth. My one ambition in life is to win as many as possible. Oh, it is the only thing worth doing to save souls and men and women. We can all do it." That's what R.A. Torrey said. R.A. Torrey's the one that he had a stop on a train in the 1800s. He was traveling, had a five-hour layover, had a box of tracts, passed out 5,000 gospel tracts at his layover at the train station. He said, "I may never be here again." What a guy. Number three, no one really knows who you were winning. Well, who got saved, little kid? Wonder who that kid's going to grow up and be. Any of you remember the new little, well, it's not a subdivision. You know, we don't have new subdivisions in Napa. You know, it's like two new houses coming to Napa soon in the mid-900s, you know. It's two houses. It's a subdivision. Right across from 7-Eleven on Redwood, those homes, they're like 1 inch apart. You've seen them. Rogers Court. Several people have been in there passing out tracts, trying to win souls. Someone went about 2 weeks ago. Passed out tracts. No one would hear the gospel, but they took tracts. And the following Sunday, a young girl came all dressed up, came into the lobby and said, "Where do I go? It's my first time." And someone says, "So where's your mom or dad?" You know, we don't get people like that. You know, they come off the bus, but the parents just dropped her off. "Where do I go?" She watched the Jose cartoon and got saved. Someone left a 3-cent piece of literature. She came and she got saved. You can't measure that in eternity. You just can't. You never know who it is. I was at the Rules house recently trying to straighten Brother Rule out, teaching him some weightlifting techniques. And Mrs. Rule got a box in the mail from one of her kids. And it was just these little pieces of paper, and they folded in half. It said, "Here's a tip." And it was for putting a tip at a restaurant. You stick your tip in there. On the inside it said, "Years ago I was a waitress. And at age 16 someone left me not only a tip, but a gospel tract. Here's the verses they shared with me. I went home and knelt down by my bed and gave my heart to Christ. I'm on my way to heaven. If you've never done it, you can do that. Why don't you do that right now?" So one of her kids made a gospel track about a tip and put her testimony in it. Just a tip.
Who left the tip? We don't know. But a Terry Rule got saved that night. You just never know. It was Corrie Ten Boom, the watchmaker. Only woman licensed watchmaker in her country. Was in prison because they helped the Jews escape. They hid them in their house. They took her to Ravensbrück concentration camp in World War II for women. 98,000 women were killed at that one camp. They threw them into this huge building like animals. Hammocks, four or five women sleeping in one little hammock. Fleas, vermin, all sorts of filth there. The guards would not go in because all the fleas would jump on them and start biting them. Her sister Betsy said this, "Why are we here, Corey?" She said, "This is why God put us here, to get the gospel out to these ladies. This is why we're here." And they led many to Christ. It was Dawson Trotman during the World War II era. He got saved. By the way, he rode a motorcycle to church. Because back then everybody thought men that went to church were sissies. So he told all the guys, black leather jackets, motorcycle. He is real harsh on his trainees. He said, if you're down to business, you'll have a New Testament in your pocket. If you're down to business, you'll have gospel tracts. You'll always have a testament and tracts. That's what Dawson Trotman said. It was J. Frank Norris, who's in heaven now, pastor two large churches. He said, I'd do anything to keep a man out of hell. Went to his grave. That statement is printed on his grave in Fort Worth, Texas. Does the name Johann von Stoppitz, not Stoppitz, Stoppitz ring a bell? Most of us, it wouldn't. Jonathan would know. He won one soul that we know of. His name was Martin Luther, who was instrumental in the Reformation. Not Martin Luther King Jr., Martin Luther, history, 1500s. Daisy Halls, she won one person. His name was Lee Robertson. He baptized 65,000 people in Chattanooga, Tennessee. His name was Earl Cooley. He lived in Stockton. How far is that? Hour and a half. Lived on an island. I hunted with him one time. Earl Cooley was half animal, half human. You've heard of the missing link? He wasn't missing. We found him. It was Earl Cooley. Had one brown eye, one blue eye. This is true. Like an Australian shepherd or something. We went hunting and we were going to shoot pheasant. I kid you not. We shot this pheasant. We didn't mean to hurt him, but we just didn't want him flying anymore permanently. And so when he landed on the ground, Earl jumped out of the Jeep, ran over on all fours like a bird dog, picked up that pheasant in his mouth, ran back over and just laid him at my feet. Who are you? Earl Cooley would play the Sunday morning sermons to the people that worked on his ranch. They'd be plowing. He'd say, oh, you got to hear this, and put it on there. He said, you're coming to church to Napa with us Sunday. He'd call and say, Pastor, I got one I'm bringing to church, not saved. He'd drive all that hour and a half here. They'd get saved on Sunday. He'd drive all the way back. I don't know how many people he did that. One day he called and goes, I got a Mormon. I said, well, there goes the record. That's out the way. He ain't going to get saved. I kid you not. He got saved that Sunday. He got saved that Sunday. Oh, Earl, he was God's bird dog. He could point them. He couldn't win them, but he could get them to church. Amen. I think of a contractor years ago, used to be here. He's in heaven now. Somehow he couldn't witness. You know, he couldn't open the Bible. He just didn't feel good at it. And I told you this. He would just come by the church, knock on my office and say, Pastor, here's Joe. Joe, here's the pastor. I'll be back in about 30 minutes. He'd just drop them off in my office. You know, kind of like, Pastor, you know what to do. Okay, here we are, little thing. We've not done this in a long time. Think of the person who's mostly responsible for you being saved. Now, some of you, it's going to be many. You know, it's a mom, a dad, Sunday school teacher. Obviously we know it's the Lord, but humanly speaking,
Maybe it was a bus captain. They got you to church. You got saved. Maybe someone knocked on your door. Maybe you got saved in Sunday school. Maybe your parents led you to Christ. So try not to come up with 15 names. Try to narrow it down mostly to like one name, okay? So we're going to count to three. I want you to say that name out loud. You don't have to shout it. You say, well, I'm not saved. Well, during the invitation, you come to the front. We'll show you how to get saved so you'll have somebody say, okay? Ready? One, two, three. Mrs. Warner. Okay. All right. So I said Mrs. Warner. She's the one that knocked on our door, invited us to church. We all ended up getting saved. Now, let me ask you a question. If the whole planet did what we just did, said a name, did anybody say your name just now? Did anyone on planet Earth say, oh, it was so-and-so that told me the good news? It ought to be dozens of people at the end of your life be saying your name, not for your glory, but because you were faithful to tell others. The soul winner, in conclusion, carries tracks. Who's ever missed the opportunity? Let's confess. You're going to give somebody and it was in the wrong jacket, wrong car. Someone cleaned your car, the purse, and there it was. I get on elevators. I travel a good bit. I'm in motels all the time. I get on that elevator. I know I got 3 seconds. I may never see that person again. Carry tracks. Confederate battle was taking place. The Union. Confederates are who? The North or South. You remember? The Union was who? North or South. You remember? Okay. Some of you say, we don't even care. We were in California. See, you don't care. That war's still going on probably in Louisiana. Who knows? The North had chased the South and the South had retreated in a battle. One soldier just kept going forward. They figured he was MIA, missing in action. They didn't see him anymore. That night at supper, they're mourning him. They're eating supper, thinking about him. Soon out of the darkness comes that soldier with his rifle, with the captured enemy soldier. And someone says, you're alive. He said, yes, I'm alive. They said, where'd you get that guy? He says, the woods are full of them. Go get you one. I want to say this. The woods are full of lost souls. Go get you one. They can be relatives. They can be neighbors. They can be co-workers. It doesn't matter what color, what ethnic group, what background, what education. Amen. We could have all had one this month if we wanted one bad enough. They always are on the lookout. I want to say this to the teenagers. I started doing this when I was 7th grade. Passing out tracts. 10th grade, all the time. Right now, there are teenagers who have passed away that are now in heaven that I led to Christ when I was a teenager. You don't wait till you're 25 or 30 and say, now I'm not self-conscious and now I'm going to be a... No. Teens, listen to teens. I've always thought the greatest soul winners amongst Christians are teenagers. They have no fear. Here's a pit bull this tall. Oh, let's go pet him. Don't! You have no fear. You walk up to big people and mean-looking people. Did y'all get one of these? I think the second greatest soul winners are ladies. You can't be mean to a lady. Hi, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Well, I never thought about that. A man asked that. Shut up! Ladies don't get cussed out near as much as men get cussed out. People are nicer to ladies. Amen. The soul winner carries tracks. Always on the lookout, gives a salvation testimony, just talk about Jesus, constantly learning, and then keeps doing it in old age. The Bible says, bearing fruit in old age, one of the passages says. Anybody see the birthday celebration on Linda Vista Street yesterday? Did you see it? You saw it? What was the number? 100. One of our church neighbors hit 100. You know who that is? Grant. World War II veteran.
I saw his family taking pictures with him. He's spry. Mows his own yard, washes his own car. He's going to live to be 100. My mom's a little bit interested in him. And my dad's been in heaven a while. I said, Mom, he owns a house in Napa. What's he look like? I said, don't matter. I need a stepdad. No, I'm just kidding. But they had this great big sign, Happy Birthday 100. He lives on our street. Our church is here. What good does it do us to celebrate, hey, a guy lived to be 100 on our street and died unforgiven? You know what? He got saved 6 years ago. He got saved. People are only in our world so long, and then they leave. Pastor, you poured cold water on the birthday celebration. Look, we're going to get you a sign when you hit 100. Some of you, we're going to get that 100 sign because you look 100. No, we're not going to do that. So mean today. I don't know what I'm drinking in my Starbucks. Oh, Carl Hatch, when he got older, he was in a head-on collision in his car. I think he spoke here once with his cane. He was just real decrepit. Just a lot of pain. I mean, it broke his legs. He was all beat up. He couldn't do the door-to-door soul winning anymore, so he would just, once a week, he'd sit at McDonald's. Just sit at a table and say, hey, come here. Sit down right here. You know, people have to obey old people. I mean, entire families would come to this table. What's your name? What do you do? What's these kids' names? If you died today, would you go to heaven? That's all he did. Come here. He kept doing it. Anybody remember the book? Now the movie, Unbroken. We didn't know anything about him, and then it got real famous. Louis Zamperini, the Olympic star, World War II bombardier hero, and the life raft, 47 days. I Googled him once I read the book, and I said, I wonder if he's still alive. He's 90 years old. I said, speaking schedule, he'll be speaking in the Bay Area. So I knew I was the only one that read the book. I was probably the only one in the Bay Area even knew his name. I get there, he's speaking at a church. I think it was on a Tuesday night. There were cars everywhere. There was a line out the door. They said this group can watch it on closed circuit TV in the yard. This group can watch it in the lobby. I said, but I'm not a group. And so I got in the building. And I'll never forget that 91-year-old man at that time sat in his wheelchair. He said, normally I'd do autographs and take pictures. He said, I broke my leg recently. He said, as you heard, he said, yes, I was an Olympic star. I was raised in Torrance, California. I was the bombardier. Ended up in the life raft, was tortured in concentration camp, hated God, didn't believe in God. Went to a Billy Graham crusade in 1957 after my wife got saved. He said, I walked the aisle and I gave my heart to Christ. God removed that hatred and that bitterness out of me and I started loving everybody. I even wanted to go back and win the man that tortured me in concentration camp. He said, I started youth ministries and trying to help troubled boys like me and preaching and soul winning and doing what I could. At the end of the service, he said, if you've never received Jesus Christ, bow your head right now. Ask him in your heart. There's four things. And he went through the Romans, gave an invitation, 91. World famous celebrity, still trying to win souls. Amen. Nothing gets you back on track like soul winning. Amen. Physically, you may not be able to do 20 stories of stairs, but you could sit on a chair in front of the church saying, hey, you ever wonder what they do inside of there? Happen to have another chair. Sit down. You look tired. I guarantee you, someone could win their first soul sitting in a chair in front of the building if they wanted to this week. have dog biscuits. Oh, I'm here. We love dogs. Dogs are going to heaven. Here, here. And then. Jesus was wearied in his journey. You know what he did? He sat down on the well, got alone, and he won a soul. He won the woman at the well. Nothing gets you focused like that. You go to the eye doctor, you remember? Is this better or is this better? Click. This or this? Click. This or this? Click. Soul winning does this. Click. Now I understand while I'm here. I got a text. Usually I don't read things off my cell phone. I couldn't figure out how to print the thing, but here it is. Oh, good. Look, text. Pastor, what a great sermon. Get out of here. I'm just making that up. I got this Monday. Here's what it said. It was 20 years ago today, you and Jonathan came to our door in Calistoga on a Thursday night. Because of your faithfulness, I got saved. My life and my eternity was forever changed. I had been introduced to Jesus. I am so grateful for you and for all the Lord has done in my life. Thank you for serving and loving the Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. It's all God wants, faithfulness. Just be faithful. You can't determine how many souls you win or how often you win people. But you can determine how often you go. During the COVID time, I don't know how many pastors called me and said, you go on soul winning? I said, do what? Well, you know, with the mask and you know all the fear. I said, do what? Are you personally going soul winning during this time? I said, 14 to 18 hours a week. Amen. Just like always. You're wearing a mask? I said, I am right now. When people weren't as afraid, I took the mask off. Some were still afraid. Just the face, you know, so put the mask back. It's nothing that keeps you focused. If you've never led a soul personally to Christ, I'm challenging you tonight. Learn how to do it. We've got books how to do it. We've got the little soul winning cheat sheets. There's some good soul winners in this room. They'll take you and let you just watch and observe till you feel comfortable. You pass out enough tracks, ask the question enough, and someone's going to want to get saved. That's just how it works. And you'll be glad. He that winneth souls is wise. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon this time tonight.